This week on the Edible Valley Podcast, we welcome Karen Pattison of Bite Size Specialty Foods. She's going to tell us all about pickles.
Welcome to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Blaine Prose.
And we would like you to join with us on our ongoing adventure exploring our Edible Valley. I am Jonathan Fraser.
Hi, Karen. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
We just had a nice sample of some of your product here. That was a nice surprise. Thank you for bringing that in.
You're welcome.
I've got this warming feeling in my mouth right now, so it's great.
Yeah.
Nice, warm, sweet flavors, right?
So. Yeah. All spicy, yes.
Yes, excellent. So we just wanted to sort of learn a little bit about you, and how did you get into bite-size specialty foods?
Well, I was working at the Royal Coachman bartending, and I had back problems. I went off work with my back, and I did all my own preserving and things like that. So I had a couple of friends ask me if I could do some pickled stuff for them. And basically, one of my girlfriends took it down to a club that she worked at. The next thing I knew, everybody wanted them. So that's basically how Bite Size started.
Really?
And then it just grew from there.
Wow. Yeah. Lucky breaks.
Yeah. Well, I knew everybody in the bar business already. That really helped me with the pickled thing, that's for sure.
Right.
Being able to get my product into bars and stuff like that.
Right.
That was good.
So you started with just doing pickles, and then you branched into other preserves as well?
Mm-hmm. Pepper jellies and fruit jam. I do a bit of fruit jam as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much of that. I basically like to do the pepper jellies are my favorite thing to sample and let people try. I really like that. I think they're a really nice complement to meat and cheese, of course.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love that you brought some brie cheese in.
Natural Pastures has been very supportive of me. They give me all the cheese for the demos.
Oh, wonderful.
And they sell my stuff in their little cheese shop.
Mm.
So it's a great partnership for us. Yeah.
I know, I picked up a few jars.
Thank you.
I always find it's a great thing. I love doing a baked brie and just covering it with a nice spicy jelly over top of it.
I do a wheel of brie wrapped in puff pastry.
Oh.
That's really good. I do the raspberry with some frozen raspberries and then a little bit of chopped fresh rosemary. And it's really good.
I'm salivating.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get asked out for dinner very often, but when I do, they say, bring that puff pastry thing you make.
I'd be asking you over all the time.
Sounds like you have an invite to Blaine's.
Yeah. Right? We might be eating puff pastry and brie for dinner. But.
So, yeah, I was going to say, like, how long have you been involved with this?
I started in 1980.
1980.
13 years, yeah. I had many obstacles at the beginning. I had both my parents full-time. Now I know how they felt when I was a kid.
Because
it was a lot of work. I had my dad for 5 years, so it was very time-consuming. And, full-time job taking care of him and then trying to run the business on the side. Mm-hmm. So I never really got started full-time until 2006. And from there, I just went forward from there to try to get into some of the grocery stores and things like that.
So what were your main products when you started out?
The pickled asparagus. And I started doing the carrots because I kept running out of the asparagus. So I started doing the carrots. And then the beans kind of followed naturally. And then the people started really loving the carrots. So I just kept doing them. And then I started with just the raspberry pepper jelly was the first one.
Right.
And then just getting different ideas, trying some that did not work. Really bad. But the ones I've got on my line now, they all work pretty well. And they're all, I just did the strawberry habanero is the newest product.
That's right.
My product line.
It's
a
nice one, actually.
Yeah, it's, the strawberries are from Berry Best on Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
So they do a really nice berry. So they're nice flavor. And,
well, that was actually my next question is, where do you get a lot of your products from?
Well, the peppers and the fruit are all grown here in the Comox Valley. The peaches and apricots come from the Okanagan, of course.
Right.
The carrots are BC carrots, and the asparagus I can't get any locally, so it's just from wherever I can get it from.
Right.
The beans are all grown here.
Are they? Good. Yeah. So you must have a busy summer.
Yes. When the beans start, that's when it starts to really get busy, about the middle of July.
Okay.
Right through till after Christmas.
Really?
Once I finish, well, the peppers come until almost the end of October, and then I have the Christmas season starting, so I do demos, 3 or 4 demos a week usually, leading up to Christmas.
Right.
It's very busy. Yeah, trying to find somebody to help with the demos is difficult.
Right.
Because you have to have the right person.
Right.
So it's hard to find somebody. And everybody wants to talk to me, of course, makes it even harder.
Right.
Yeah.
I just do my best.
Yeah.
So how much are you producing? Like, how much of your asparagus and beans and that do you?
Oh, I don't really know how many pounds I do every year. I know I could do probably more than I do, because I seem to run out every year. So I'm obviously not doing enough, but I'm working on that. I'm trying to solve a few of those problems that I'm having. And I'm in the right place. My facility is in Tintown, and it's the right place. I got a warehouse there now, so that's good. And
I'm just eating an asparagus right now, and it's delicious.
So when you started out, I'm guessing you didn't have a warehouse. Was this something you did specialty kitchens?
I just rented a kitchen for years.
Really?
And had everything in the basement of my house.
Right.
And I kind of grew up in a family that did their own canning and stuff.
Right.
So I kind of came by it fairly honestly. Everybody did it. And when I moved out of the house, I didn't like store-bought stuff, so I had to do it myself. So my mom did it my whole life, so
right.
That's why I started doing it.
Yeah, you're used to that the homemade stuff.
Yeah, it's so much better than the store-bought stuff. And you have control over what goes into it, and it's important to do that. My grandmother, she lived right next door to me, and she used to shuck peas all day long sometimes.
Really?
Oh, wow. All day. Yep, she'd have a great big white bucket and just sit there and shuck peas all day. So it's all, you know, we had root cellars then, and, you know, it was all stuff that my grandpa grew all year. So
right.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I've always done my own stuff. So.
Yeah, I've just, in the last couple of years, gotten more into doing preserves and pickles and canning and things like that. It's an art form, and it's really rewarding.
Yeah. Well, it's not, a lot of people are afraid of their own doing it themselves. And I always tell them, if they use the regular Bernardin canning jars, after it's processed, take the ring off. And if it's going to go bad, you're going to see the mold on the top of it. It's not, you're not going to eat it if it's bad. It's not going to happen, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's just all you have to do, really, to make sure that it's good.
Yeah.
My mom had canning. We ate for 5 years after it was canned. So there's, you know, it keeps pretty well if you keep it in a cool, dark place. It stays pretty nice. For, I've got mincemeat at home that I've had for, I think it's 08. So, and I'm still eating it. So, and I'm here to talk about it. So, it must be okay.
Once that seal sticks down, it's, the air's out of it. It's pretty much good for a long time.
Yeah, you just have to keep it out of the sun and, you know, in a cool place, and it stays pretty good for a long time.
Yeah, I just did 32 jars of salmon last night. So, my finally shut the canner off about 11 o'clock last night. I'm tired of listening to that little weight rattling on the top. So, but yeah, it was, you know, it was fun. It's a lot of work, but it's rewarding. And then I have a lot of food put away.
Right.
It's not going to spoil
if
the power goes out or anything like that. So.
Yeah, that's the great part about it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to starve to death.
No.
There's a problem. Because my brother, he has Patterson Farms. And he, he said there's only enough food on the island to last for 2 days before we get our food cut off.
Yeah.
That's not very long.
It's a little scary. You know? Unless we go to your warehouse and we may have an extra day.
If you don't mind eating pickles and pepper jelly,
Yeah. I think I could do.
I could probably put some pepper jelly with my canned salmon. It would be amazing.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Excellent. So do you have some maybe some tips for people that are looking to get into canning?
Well, the first thing I tell people when they haven't done it before is to do small batch at first, If you make two jars and you don't like it, that's not too much to throw away. Right. And if you make 20 jars and you don't like it, that's a lot of waste. So, and if you do, especially if you do the pickled stuff or any other kind of canning, if you, you know, some of the pickled stuff have to sit for, well, mustard pickles, they have to sit for 3 months before you're supposed to eat them. But you mm-hmm. can tell within a week of what, you know, what it's going to taste like, right? Whether you like sure. the taste or it's bad or something in it that's not good for your taste buds or whatever.
Yeah.
So just a couple jars at first. And then if you find a recipe you like, stick with the recipe. Don't waver from that.
Yeah.
My mother was the worst at that. She used to try all different recipes all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And she didn't like, you know, she didn't like them. They just sat in the cupboard.
Yeah.
So well, I was going to say all that we've sampled are standardized recipes that you...
Mm-hmm. Well, the pepper jelly recipe, it's basically the same recipe with different fruit and different peppers and different, you know, flavors, heat and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's basically the same recipe. The pickles are the same way. I don't waver from that because it tastes good. It's a nice flavor. Most mm-hmm. people, it's not too hot for most people, the pickled stuff. And
yeah, when you're doing it commercially too, people come to expect the same product every time. Mm-hmm. So you want to keep it consistent so that
right.
people keep coming back.
And with the Caesar drinks, you know, you don't want anything really spicy because
mm-hmm.
most people can handle the middle of the road spiciness, but sometimes, you know, when you get into the really hot stuff, it gets too hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quickly. I love how you point at the habanero jam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a little yellow hazard warning for the lids of the habanero that I put on. It says warning, extremely hot. And it's yellow. And it's funny because I had it blown up for the front of the plate when I do the demos.
Yeah.
And people don't see it. I don't know why. They just say, oh, I like hot food. And they pop it in their mouths. And then they go, oh, my God, that's so hot.
And you see the tears. And the...
Yes, the yeah. tips of their ears go red. And it's pretty funny to watch. It humors me.
Yeah. The big tough guys that want to be big tough guys and don't show that it's burning their mouth, they have to walk away really fast.
Well, the thing is that people can't hide the reaction with the habanero jelly. They just can't hide it.
Yeah.
You know, they try sometimes, but they just, it doesn't. And they eat it. They put it in their mouths and they go, well, that's not very hot. And I go, just wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, it comes in late and it stays with you for quite a while. So it's,
yeah.
it's one of those hot ones.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And people have a hard time believing that the peppers are all grown here, but they are. Mm-hmm. I try really hard to buy from here first and then I go out.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to go to Victoria to get a few of the habaneros this year because I don't think I'm going to get enough.
Okay.
Because Dennis, my grower, he grows for natural pastures as well.
Mm. All right. So
he's only got so much room in his greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So most of them all greenhouse peppers is what you're...
Yeah, they're in an unheated okay. greenhouse. They just like to be protected from the wind and the rain.
Right.
And they're in the ground, so they're not in...
Straw bales or sawdust?
No, they're not hydroponic or anything like that. They're yeah. not grown in the soil, but they just the seeds have to be started in January.
Wow.
And they don't get harvested till September and October, so it's a long season for them.
Right,
yeah, wow.
To grow. And that's why I have trouble getting them, because lots of farmers don't want to have their ground used up for that length of time.
Right.
It's a long time to have that, when they could rotate like three crops in there in the same amount of time.
Right? Sure.
It's a bit of a challenge.
So you must bring in a lot of your berries and freeze them?
And then yep.
and then process them when you get the peppers?
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's better, I think. I like the frozen fruit just because I can really control what I'm making at any given time. If I have a huge pile of something, you know, and I have the fruit there, if I see my piles going down really fast, which happens quite often, then I can just make more of that particular kind if I have the fruit and peppers frozen. So it works out really well mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah, I just picked a bowl of blackberries today. There's a bush right outside where I work, and it's loaded. It's so cool.
It's been a good year for blackberries this year, I think, yeah. I try to get my berries from a farm because... Yeah. I worry that I had a couple people ask me about wild berries and would I buy them, and
yeah.
I say no because I have no control over where they're grown.
Yeah.
And people don't think about that. There could be like a diesel bus perking away there, you know, and spraying that diesel fume all over the berries.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't know that. And I'm a little too anal to do that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
There is so many beautiful blackberry bushes along highways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
And you see those and you see people picking at them. And yeah, mm-hmm. I've had quite a few come to me trying to sell them at the restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would really love to, but I don't feel comfortable enough cleaning them all to be able to process them.
No. Yeah, you just don't have any control over that, right?
Yeah. So
it's hard to know what to do.
So where can we find your products? Where's you've been naming a bunch of places, but
Courtney here.
We can do Vancouver Island.
Well, Camp River, I sell to a few places there. Save on Foods in Camp River and Nanaimo so far. I'm as far south as Nanaimo with Save on. I have sell to four thrifty stores, Camp River, Courtney, Parksville, Crown Isle, of course.
Right.
And Healthy Way Vitamins in Camp River. And then the bar is the MVP in Camp River, the Riptide.
Oh, yeah.
And here in Natural Pastures, Thrifty Thrifts and Meat Butcher's Block.
All right.
And I don't want to miss anybody, but I probably will. And then in Victoria, I have Strathcona Hotel, and I sell to the Empress, the Fairmount Empress.
All right.
And I haven't really gotten down there too much with the retail part. That's something I have a project for after Christmas this year.
Okay.
Yeah. And I sell over in Port Alberni to Jenny's Fine Foods right down at the quay in Port Alberni.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And Vancouver Edible Canada.
Right. So you've got
the Save on Foods in Kamloops.
Really?
Weird. I know. It's weird. I got a phone call one day from him and he said, I'd like to buy your stuff. I said, okay. So,
yeah. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So it's actually transporting fair distance.
Yeah, well, there's lots of interest for the product. It's just trying to keep up. That's the problem for me right now. So, it's good. That's another reason I like to do the demos, because I get a lot of positive feedback, which, motivates me a little bit to work a little harder and to get more of the product done to sell.
Mm-hmm. So you're just a one-person operation?
Yeah, I have one girl that helps me part-time in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple people that help me with the demos. They're mostly just friends that help me when I, get a little stressed out. Help me. And they do. So that's good. And I have lots of support from friends and family.
Mm-hmm. Great. Wonderful. So what's one of your biggest sellers?
Well, the raspberry pepper jelly is my biggest seller as far as the pepper jelly goes.
Right.
It's the original one that I first started with.
Okay.
And it sells, it's very popular. It's really, the raspberry is really versatile. It goes with everything from salmon all the way through to lamb. It goes with pork, chicken, everything. I did a halibut fillet with a nut crust and I used the raspberry. It was really good. And
mm-hmm.
There's a recipe in my brochure that I hand out when I do the demos that has a pepper jelly, a little garlic and ginger, lemon juice, and I've brushed that over salmon. I've brushed it over chicken. It's really good with lamb, pork. It's good with everything.
I'm just picturing a leg of lamb right now.
Yeah.
Glazed.
Yeah.
I'm going to a pig roast on the 8th of September, and I'm going to take some because it'll be good with some pork.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, Game too. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, I sell to Seaview Game Farm too. And Berry Best.
Oh.
Yeah.
I must have another farm stand somewhere. I can't remember. Oh, Pine Ridge Farms in Horn Lake.
Okay.
Yeah. I just can't keep track of everybody that I sell to.
A lot of outlets. It's good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. The Save-On foods people have been really good. I originally sold to Urban Fair down there, the four stores in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a really good working relationship with Save-On for about 10 years now.
Mm.
And then they decided they were going to go list some local products. And luckily, because they knew me, they phoned me first and they listed 10 of my products. So that was really good.
Oh, wow.
And they do these local events once a month. So it's good to promote my products.
Mm-hmm.
And selling fairly well, especially in Cam River, because everybody knows me up there already, and
mm-hmm.
and Nanaimo's coming along.
Right.
Yeah, it's a pretty big marketplace in Nanaimo. Save on there.
Yeah, it's funny how the different demographics work with the different stores, though. It's it's really funny how that works with the different stores. You know, one Save on Food sells tons of pop and chips, and the other one sells more the local, products, the natural products and things like that. So it's, you know, just figuring it all out and just, you know, getting the demos out there for people to try it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to go.
So you go and do demos in Victoria and Nanaimo and all over?
Yeah, I'm in Nanaimo next Saturday, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I try to do the thrifties here once every 6 weeks or so. And I had to stop in August because I'm just too busy to do them right now. But I need a break anyway, so I'll be starting doing them again, hopefully, in September. I go into Butcher's Block and do them in there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I've got the guy at Crown Isle, he gave me a huge display right at the end of one of the aisles in the deli department, so that was nice.
Wow. Was
really visual, like you can see the carrots from when you walk in the door, so that's good for me. Nice visibility and stuff.
Draws people in.
So. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to ask, why is buying local so important?
Well, being born and raised in Cam River, I really have always have been green, I think, you know, thinking about the environment and the impact that it has on the atmosphere, the world, period. Just cutting down on the transportation of products from California or Mexico and supporting local people, farmers and value-added food business like myself. And I just think that if people can just try the products, they're going to be very happy about the flavor. Like I can get a head of lettuce from my brother and it lasts in the fridge for 3 weeks.
Mm.
You can't do that if you buy it from California. It's already been picked for a week when you get it, you know, so you're kind of, if not longer than that. So, you know, it's just, and I grew up eating, I think the way that we were supposed to eat for our area where we are, you eat what's in season, when it's in season, you try to preserve it if you can. And in the winter, I eat mostly turnips and carrots and parsnips and onion, you know, all the savory things that keep, cabbage and things like that. Because you can get BC products right through till almost March.
Yeah.
You know, if you look in the right place, potatoes and
Things like that. Quite a few just in this area.
Yeah, Jerry has beets almost right through the winter too, you know, and then I can my own tomatoes for home. I make my own salsa and all that. So that's what I basically eat in the winter is a lot of spaghetti sauce.
I'm still in love with some heirloom tomatoes that I got from Jerry for the Mount Washington Food Festival.
Oh, yeah. Well, he has those sweet slicing onion or tomatoes right now.
Oh, yeah.
And they're really good. Oh. Yeah. They're really good.
No, I remember I made a tomato soup out of them and I was just like, I felt bad that I actually had to cook the tomatoes because they're so beautiful. I actually sliced one and put it on top of each soup.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Just beautiful.
I tried last year for the first time. I fire roasted some tomatoes and canned them.
Oh, nice.
So they were quite good, too. Just a little bit of garlic and oil and into the oven they go. And they kind of have a nice, rich flavor.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any plans for some new products in the future, or are you...
Well, I'm doing a few things for Ronald at Locals that I don't sell really to anybody else, like pickled garlic scapes, and I'm doing a bread and butter pickle for him right now. And I'm selling him the fruit syrups, too, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I wanted to talk about those fruit syrups, because you mentioned it just before we started the interview. So.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing with these fruit syrups?
Well, they're just basically I have right now raspberry and strawberry. I'm hopefully going to do blueberry, blackberry, and cherry, although cherries are too expensive this year, so I won't be doing any cherry. they're really good for pancakes and on ice cream and things like that. But then that's something else that can keep over the winter as well. You get that nice fresh fruit flavor in the wintertime. You have frozen blueberries or frozen blackberries. You can put a few frozen ones on your ice cream and then pour the syrup over it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to try that.
I'm sold.
So she's coming over with a big brie and
also by the ice cream.
Right. Yeah, it's I always try to try a couple of new things a year. Sometimes I take something off the product line.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't, depending on... Now that I don't do the farm market anymore, I took a lot of things off my product line when I quit doing the market. So that helped me with time management as well, because I don't have to do little bits of these different things. Just my table looks full at the market, you know?
Right.
And just, I don't know why, but lately I've been thinking about going back to the market. I don't know why I'm thinking about that. I haven't done either market for about 5 years now, I think, or more.
Hmm.
And I just did a little market down at Pine Ridge Farm, mm-hmm. and I realized again how much work it is to do those markets. So I just kind of put me off a little bit, so maybe I won't go back to the market. But
maybe just team up with somebody else who has a booth there already and do a little on the side.
Yeah, I would love to go back to the market, but I just don't have the time right now. It mm-hmm. takes too much time to do.
Mm-hmm.
When I did them both, Cameron and Courtney, I took half a day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and I didn't get finished till 8 o'clock Sunday night. So there's a lot of work involved in mm-hmm. that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And people can, you know, they know where they can get my product now.
Yeah.
And they can go and get it there anytime they want it. You know, they don't have to come down to the market to get it. And plus, I kind of feel like that's a good supporting thing to do with other businesses as well, you know, to offer my product to other places, you know. And then when I do the demos, I tell people where they can get it if they want a different kind of pepper jelly or something that is not being sold, like at Thrifty's.
Right.
I can send them to Natural Pastures or over to Butcher's.
You sort of stagger your products at different stores.
Yeah, well, I just sell Thrifty's, two of the pepper jellies and the two pickled things, so. Butcher's Block have more of they have the new strawberry habanero, and Natural Pastures have the whole line of pepper jellies, so that's good. There's tourists and Thrifty's and they want something to take home, the little 125 mil jars, I just send them to Thrifty's or to Natural Pastures to get it.
Right.
It's good. Mm-hmm. And they buy cheese while they're there.
Exactly.
So that's good.
It works well for everyone.
You're kind of set up when you walk in there, because they always have the cheese trays out there with little samples, and it gets me every time.
Yeah.
I'm like,
they just started doing a buffalo brie. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I haven't actually tried it yet, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. I have a little deli in Nanaimo called Danforth Deli. I don't know if you know about them. They're right on Commercial Street.
Okay.
They buy some of my stuff. And they're big. They're big on the cheese. They sell a lot of cheese. So they have natural cheese in there as well.
Hmm.
It's nice to see how everyone in this community sort of works together.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I always say, like, you know, people always, you know, if they're helping me, then I want to do anything I can to help them, because, you know, it really does help me if I have I only need a couple of things from GFS because I get my deal from them.
Right.
Ronald gets it for me. You know, right. So it's good in that way that I can, I don't know if he needs help with his making the minimum, but, right. You know, sometimes, like for me, I very rarely need that much stuff from GFS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough sometimes dealing with
it
because there's you have to spend a couple hundred dollars to get it in, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's tough sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So. And basically all I buy from them is steel and garlic, so I don't buy anything else. It's kind of hard to. You know, to add that on to, you know, try and talk them into giving you. When I was in Canberra, they used to deliver it to Cold Star for me.
Oh, yeah.
But now they don't have anywhere in Courtney they can deliver it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
It's partnership, though.
So far, so good.
Yeah, totally.
And you supply jams and stuff to him. So.
Yeah.
It's a great win-win for him, because he gets to showcase a lot of your products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just changed his brunch menu, so he's going to put the syrups on the menu, so. I don't know if they're on there already or if they're going on, but it won't be long.
Mm. Really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what can happen from a hobby, huh?
Yeah. It ends up being a little stressful sometimes, but like I said, it's all good because I was talking to Fred, you know Fred Smith?
Yes, Fred Smith.
About the taco cart. Cause I helped him at the market all last year. And of course this year I can't help him. I just have too much to do. And we were just talking the other day about how, and he brought this up, that it makes him, how rewarding it is when people say, God, that's a good taco, you know, and I feel the same way. when people try it at the demos and they go, oh my God, that's so good, right? And I really feel good about it. And I get lots of positive feedback from the people at the demos. And I do, you know, I do special orders as well for people. If somebody wants something done specifically, I do that. And I have a lady in Cam River. She wanted to buy dill pickles from me because she didn't like all the food coloring and the chemicals in the store-bought ones. She has two little kids.
Right.
So I said, I can do them for you, but they're not going to be $4.99 a liter, you know. So yeah. Anyway, she ordered a case. And so the next year she said, oh, my God, we ran out in 6 months. We need two cases. I said, okay, so I did those, and then this year she's ordered four cases.
Holy cow.
So the kids just love them, and, you know, it's all good. And I have a couple jars left over for myself.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Nice.
Yeah, the bread and butter pickles are really good on a burger. They're really good on a burger.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the recipes all kind of came from I used to talk to my mom about all of, if I had a little problem with the color or something, you know, because she always said you have to make people want to try it before they actually try it.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, if I ever had a problem, I just phone her and we'd talk about it. And we never really solved the problem. But then I'd wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'd have the solution to the problem, right? Cause it just bouncing things off her.
Right.
So now I kind of do my sister-in-law, Dagmar. I bounce things off her sometimes. And my friend Anne in Cam River, she likes to cook, so I have her, and yeah, that's how it all comes about.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So, how can people contact you? Do you have a website?
I have a website. It's not in very good shape right now because I haven't had time to deal with it. I need to redo it all, and I really need to get on the Facebook. I'm not yet.
Right.
Too old, I think. But I am going to give it a shot too this year and try and get that figured out. I do have, my niece was funny. She lives in Kelowna. And I emailed her and I said, how come I'm not your friend on Facebook? And she says, you are. So that's how much I know about Facebook. So I have to get into the 21st century with that and try and figure that out because I really think Facebook's a great tool if I can learn how to use it. And, that's another project for over the winter for myself. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But my email is easy. It's bitesize@island.net. Easy. And the phone is 250-203-1111. Perfect. Really easy too.
Yep.
And the information is on the website. You know, you can go on there and my email and the phone is on there.
Definitely. Okay. We'll put a link to that in our website.
So. Okay, great.
And your stuff is all over the place.
Just get
out and look for it.
Mm-hmm. They can always call me or email me and I can point them in the right direction. And
sure.
And Prontissimo Pasta in Tintown, they have some of my products in their little store. And they're open Wednesday to Friday, noon to 5, 10 to 5? Noon to 5, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have some stuff there.
Good.
So I did have one final question for you. What do you enjoy about the Comox Valley and living here?
Comox Valley. I love the food, because there's some really good places to eat here. And I just really like the whole atmosphere with the food industry here. Lots of people enjoy having a dialogue about food, and there seems to be lots of people that are really interested in food here, for me personally. And I mean, on a you can ski and, you know, golf and fish all in one day if you want to.
All here.
And I can, and it's, you know, it's easy to go south from here as well.
Mm-hmm.
Cam River is only like 20 minutes away, so that's good for me as well. And I just love it here. The only thing I'm going to do is I'm going to move into Courtney. I'm not loving those bridges that much. Fred was giving me a hard time. He says, you should be in Vancouver. And I said, that's why I'm not in Vancouver. But eventually I'll move right into Courtney.
Okay.
I just live out in Seal Bay right now.
So. Oh, okay. So yeah, that's a bit of a bit of a trip.
Beautiful spot out there.
I can imagine.
But I need to be in Courtney.
Yeah. Good. All right, Karen, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. We gratefully accept donations to help with the operating costs of the podcast or local ingredients to create new dishes in the Edible Valley Test Kitchen. Check out our website, ediblevalley.com. like us on Facebook, and follow our Twitter feed at Edible Valley. Email us with your comments or guests you would like to hear on the show. Don't hesitate to send along your cooking questions for John, to answer on the show, or to pick our brain on other local food information. Edible Valley at gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, keep it local.